Dear listeners, Sai Ram. We now bring you Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today's episode was first aired on 6th November 2014 as part of Thursday Live programs on Asia Stream of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu.
Let us offer our most loving and prayerful salutations at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan. Dearest Lord, please bless us so that from dawn till dusk, whether we wake up in the midnight or we are busy in the middle of the day with our daily work, we never fail to think of you. We never fail to know that you are with us, in us, around us, above us, below us, and within us. Please bless us so that we always remember your presence in our life and we shine in your love. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome to a fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. The bhajan we will be learning today is dedicated to the light of our lives, our beloved Bhagwan Baba. This bhajan is in Hindi and the first line of this bhajan goes like this.
Akhand Jyoti Jalao Sai Man Mandir Me.
So let's begin by becoming familiar with the lyrics of the bhajan and then as usual we'll move on to the raga, the tala, the meaning of its every word and in the end, we will listen to Brother Sonam Gyamso, a former student of Bhagwan's University from Sikkim, who had the chance to sing in front of Bhagwan for decades and someone who is also blessed to be gifted with lovely compositions of Sai Bhajans.
Akhand Jyoti Jalao Sai Man Mandir Me. Akhand Jyoti Jalao Koti Surya Sam Tej Swarupa Sai Tum Ho Divya Swarupa. Akhand Jyoti Jalao Divya Jyoti Jnana Jyoti Prema Jyoti Jalao. Akhand Jyoti Jalao.
So now that we know the lyrics, let's move on to learning how to sing this bhajan. You will first hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line and Aniyudh follows Ravi as every line is rendered. You too, dear listeners, please join Anirudh.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale E Pancham. Akhand Jyoti Jalao Sai Man Mandir Me.
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 Akhand Jyoti Jalao.
Akhand Jyoti Jalao.
Akhand Jyoti Jalao.
Akhand Jyoti Jalao.
Koti Surya Sam Tej Swarupa.
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 Sai Tum Ho Divya Swarupa.
Sai Tum Ho Divya स्वरूपा
साई तुम हो दिव्य स्वरूपा
साई तुम हो दिव्य स्वरूपा
अखंड ज्योति जलाओ
अखंड ज्योति जलाओ
अखंड ज्योति जलाओ
अखंड ज्योति जलाओ
दिव्य ज्योति ज्ञान ज्योति प्रेम 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 ज्योति जलाओ
अखंड 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 ज्योति जलाओ साई मन मंदिर में.
So that is the delightful bhajan, and you heard it in the voices of Ravi Kumar and Anirudh. And now let us learn more about the composition. So Anirudh, tell us which is the raga behind this bhajan.
Saram Vishu.
Saram.
It's a very well-known popular tune, this bhajan raga. I think listeners can guess it's Mohanam in the Carnatic music, and we call it Bhupali in the Hindustani music. There are many similar bhajans. I think maybe one way is to find which raga is that, find the similar bhajans.
Yes.
What all they like?
Chandrakala dhara sambha sadashiva.
So the tune resembles the...
Yes.
Mohanam similarities, and also you have Shri Ram Charanam, Shri Ram Charanam, beautiful bhajan.
Absolutely.
So in this Mohanam raga, which is a very pleasing, very soothing raga, you have Sa Sa Re Shudri,
Ga
Ga is Shud,
Pa Dha Sa. Sa dha pa ga re sa.
So you have ri shud, ga shud, dha shud.
Yes.
And coming back,
sa dha pa ga re sa.
So you have five notes while going up and coming down.
Yeah, even though it is a very familiar raga, I think you should let our listeners know those typical phrases that are characteristic of this raga.
Yeah, I'll try something because I've not learnt the proper Mohanam.
That's okay. I think that is the experience of all of us. We all first learn bhajans and then learn music.
It's a starter.
Yes.
Bhajans. So with these five notes, I'll just go along with these five notes.
Sure.
Na 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 na. Na
a very bright raga, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. It is a very bright and like many people sing as a, you know, Hamsadhwani is one raga where you sing in the beginning. But generally, any concerts, if you go, like, generally they sing this kind of ragas in the beginning. It gives a nice start.
It's
a nice opener.
Lighten up.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Lighten up the evening or morning, yeah, whenever the concert is, yeah. So let's move on to the swaras, Nirad.
So it's a very good choice choosing this version for the tutor.
Yeah.
We'll do the first line.
Akhand Jyoti Jalao Sai Man Mandir Me Papa Paga Gagari Ga Gapa Pada Pagari Sari Re Ni Pa.
Of course, you would have observed, you have only 5 notes in Mohanam, and there is one ni coming in.
Yes.
Somewhere it's hiding in between the swaras.
Yes.
Of course, it's like the small touches of coming down and the glides and what you give in the endings, typical subtle variations. It may go little out of the raga here and there and then come back. But the basic structure is Mohanam.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pa 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 ga 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 re ga ga pa pa da pa ga re sa re re ni pa akhand jyoti jalao re 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 ga re sa da sa sa re 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 ga re sa da sa sa re koti surya samate Jaswarupa ga 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 re sa sa re ga 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 re sa sa re ga sai tum ho divya swarupa ga pa ga pa 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 da ga pa pa ga pa ga pa 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 da ga pa pa ga akhand jyoti jalao dha da 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 pa ga pa dha dha da 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 pa ga pa dha akhand jyoti jalao sa 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 da pa da sa 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 da pa da sa divya jyoti jnana jyoti prema jyoti jalao sari sada da da sada pa pa ga dha pa ga re sa re ga sari sada da da sada pa pa ga dha pa ga re sa re ga akhand jyoti jalao re 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 ga re sa da sa sa re 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 ga re sa da sa sa.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, Anirudh, there are so many similar bhajans.
Yeah.
So shall we move on and do the beat?
Yeah, the beat of this bhajan is 8 beat and the count is 1 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Akhand Jyoti Jalao Sai Man Mandir Me Akhand Jyoti Jalao Sai Man Mandir Me.
So let us light the lamp of devotional singing in our hearts.
Definitely. We pray. Okay. We pray to Bhagavan for that.
Yes. Thank you so much, Anirudh.
Thank you, Nirin
Sai.
Thank you, Vishu.
Thank you, Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So now that we have become familiar with the lyrics, the raga and the tala of this bhajan, let's move on to understanding the inner feeling with which the bhajan should be sung. We begin with the first line.
अखंड ज्योति जलाओ साई मन मंदिर में.
अखंड मीन्स अनइंटरप्टेड, ज्योति मीन्स लाइट ऑफ फ्लेम, एंड द थर्ड वर्ड इज जलाओ विच मीन्स लाइट अप. साई द फोर्थ वर्ड रेफर्स टू बिलवर्ड भगवान. वन मीनिंग ऑफ साई ऑल्सो इज मास्टर. Man, the fifth word, means mind, but in this context it refers to the heart. And the sixth word is mandir, which is temple. The last word, me, means in. So, akhanda jyoti jalao, sai, manamandir me, means, O Lord Sai, please light the uninterrupted divine flame in the temple of our hearts. We have seen many times Baba light up with his own hands the Akhanda Jyoti just before the commencement of the global Akhanda Bhajan, the 24 hours Akhanda Bhajan in all continents. Now what is the inner significance of this Akhanda Jyoti? During the summer course of 1991, in one discourse, Swami said, the Vedas have declared there is an effulgent golden-hued divine substance that is shining in the heart of everyone. And then Swami added, it is because of this divine effulgence that the eyes are able to see, the ears are able to hear, and the mouth is able to speak. If that effulgence was not present, none of the organs could function. In the Sutra Vahini, Swami explains in detail about the meaning of the word Jyoti, and he says the word Jyoti in the Upanishads does not connote the physical light of the material world. The divine light illumines heaven and beyond and reveals God or the universal absolute. Swami says, note also that the same divine light shines everywhere at all times and in all beings. In this universe, all things seen have the unseen as their base, and all things that move have the unmoving as their substratum. So too, for every living being and for the very cosmos itself, the invisible God is the basis. It is this omni self that causes the cosmos to shine. Thus the word Jyoti is appropriate only for this light, and not the limited inferior physical light. Divine light has neither beginning nor end. It is the supreme light, the Param Jyoti, the light without a second, Advaita Jyoti, the eternal unbroken light, Akhanda Jyoti. It is the supreme God itself. The light that shines individually, Swami said, is called the flame in the lamp. The light that illumines and reveals all is called the divine light, and that is Jyoti. Divine light is a phenomenon of illumination in all its aspects. Bhagwan once gave a wonderful experience to Mr. Raja Reddy, a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan. On one occasion, when he was alone with Swami, Bhagwan said, if you are a devotee of Vishnu, you will see the Param Jyoti coming from my heart. If you are a devotee of Shiva, you will see it from my forehead, where the third eye or the Jnana Netra is located. Mr. Reddy says that he saw a Jyoti, a divine light, in the heart region of Bhagwan because he was a devotee of Lord Krishna right from the beginning. He had this vision of Bhagwan as Jyoti. Akhanda Jyoti Jalao Sai Manamandir Me. In this line we pray to the Supreme Lord to light that divine light in our hearts. Let's move on to the second line, which is sung in two variations of tune.
Akhanda Jyoti Jalao
Words of this line are already known to us. During a historic discourse on 20th October 1990, which marked the golden jubilee of Bhagwan's avataric annunciation, Swami said, there is nothing greater or more magnificent than Jyoti. No other object has the power of light. Light alone has the power to dispel darkness. Light has yet another power. The light or flame always moves upwards. Even if you keep a lamp in a pit, the light will only spread upwards. the two important characteristics of light are to dispel darkness and to go upwards. However, if the light has to shine without intermission as Akhanda Jyoti, it needs a proper basis. First of all, the light or the lamp needs a container, and then there must be a wick to light the flame. There must also be oil in the wick and in the container. And these three, Swami says, are not enough to make the light burn. A matchstick is needed to light the lamp. And can you light a lamp merely with a container, wick and oil? There is someone needed to light the lamp. And who is that someone? Swami says that someone is God. It is when you seek God realization that human nature is transformed, is enlightened into divinity. Regard your heart, Swami says, as the container of the lamp. Your mind is the wick and your devotion is the oil. And vairagya or detachment is the matchstick. And the flame that shines, that is lit, is the light of love. Without this light of love, man is submerged in the darkness of ignorance. Swami says, hence, love is fundamental for every being. That was why the Gopikas appealed to Krishna to light the lamp of love in their hearts by playing on his divine flute. Baba often advises that if people want to practice meditation, Jyoti meditation is most ideal. In fact, during one of his discourses in the summer course of 1972, Swami explained the process of Jyoti meditation step by step and then gave the reason for him stressing on this particular meditation. He said, some of you may get a doubt and say to yourselves, well, we like Rama, he is our God. We like Krishna, he is my Almighty. We like Swami, he is my Lord. Why should we not take and meditate on one of these forms? Why should we have a light in front of us for meditation? And then Swami explained, a shape or a particular form is not a permanent thing. That is a changing thing. That is fleeting. Therefore, you should not concentrate on something that can change, that which is not permanent. You must always have something that does not change. And that is the reason why you have to take the Jyoti. Having the Jyoti which does not change in your meditation, you can certainly put into the Jyoti any form that you want, that you wish to pray to. But in the form, there is always a growth and decline. On the contrary, if we have a flame, if we have a Jyoti in one place, it does not matter how many people may come and light up their lamps from this one light. This light is not going to diminish or lose anything. And then Bhagwan went on to explain, this first Jyoti, the source, is called the Akhanda Jyoti. Those who come and light up their lamps are called Jivana Jyoti. So many Jivana Jyotis, all of them have started from that one single Akhanda Jyoti. And Swami says, by putting this Jyoti in our hearts, in each individual Jiva's heart, the result of the meditation will be that this single Jivan Jyoti will go and merge itself in the Akhanda Jyoti, and it will teach us the nature of Advaita, the oneness of this world and the entire creation. So we are Jivan Jyotis who have come from Akhanda Jyoti, and it is our single most agenda in life is to go and become one again with that Akhanda Jyoti. That is how we should feel every time we see light, every time we see this Akhanda Jyoti. It teaches us that God is the only source and we are all His sparks, and it is the same divinity that is present in all of us, and one day we all have to return to that light, to that source. So in this line, Akhanda Jyoti Jalao, we pray to the Supreme Light to illumine our hearts so that we understand that God is the only source and that we are all His sparks and we are all one. Let's move on to the third line.
Koti Surya Samateja Swarupa.
Koti means a crore or 10 million. Surya is the sun, Sama means equivalent to, and Teja refers to effulgence. Swarupa means embodiment. On November 19, 2000, Baba in his discourse said, "I always have Tejas around me. The more one sacrifices, the greater will be one's Tejas." And Swami went on to say, "Though I eat very little, my Tejas of the sublime glow in me is ever increasing, and that comes not because of food, but because of the spirit of sacrifice." If only we can take a leaf out of Bhagwan's life and practice even a bit of the kind of selflessness that he embodied, we too would shine with at least a bit of that divine effulgence, that lavanyam. So in this line, we adore the Lord who shines with the brilliance of a 10 million suns. We move on to the fourth line.
Sai tum ho divya swarupa.
Tum here means you, ho. The third word means are. Divya is divine. Swarupa means embodiment. So in this line, Sai Tumaho Divya Swarupa, O Lord Sai, you are the very embodiment of supreme divinity. Let's move on to the fifth line, which is sung in two variations of tune.
Akhanda Jyoti Jalao.
Here again, we are familiar with the words. So here we call out to the Lord to light that lamp of divine uninterrupted effulgence within us. Let's move on to the next line.
Divya Jyoti, Jnana Jyoti, Prema Jyoti Jalao.
Jnana means wisdom and Prema means divine and pure love. During a historic discourse of 20th October 1990, Bhagwan gave a few examples of how Sai devotees in different parts of the world were bringing about wonderful changes and transformation in others and making a great impact on society through love in their hearts. Swami said, "If you have been able to carry these lamps from house to house, it is not the result of something external. The light has come from your hearts. Hence, more than lighting the lamps outside, develop the jyotis within you and purify your hearts." All Satya Sai organizations should be permeated with love. No room should be given to divisive forces. Differences of caste and creed should be totally eschewed. Character alone should be the hallmark of one's community. Love should become an article of faith. Morality determines the nature of a community. The answer to the question, to which community do you belong, should be, I belong to the community of the moral. And if anyone asks you for your religion, Swami said, declare, love is my religion. Therefore, even as we light lamps in the external world, we should understand the deep inner significance and cleanse our inner beings so that we begin to perceive the same divinity in everything and everyone around us. This is a very beautiful experience shared by Mr. Maharaja Krishna Rasgotra, former High Commissioner of India to the United Kingdom. Mr. Rasgotra first met Bhagwan in July 1972, and since then he had several personal experiences of Bhagwan's supernatural powers. But he says that the most stunning revelation of Bhagwan's divine nature that he experienced happened on 23rd June 2009. That morning Mr. Rasgotra took his usual chair in the Prashanti Mandir's outer veranda, and everything seemed normal. As usual, his gaze was fixed on the spot beyond the gate of Yajur Mandir where Bhagwan would come into view. A moment after Bhagwan came out of his residence and Mr. Rasgotra spotted him, things started happening, the like of which he had never experienced before. All of a sudden, he felt a surge of mild warmth in his body and a change started climbing over his vision
all that was static and stable a moment earlier, the boundary wall, the gate, the solid buildings beyond, and the rows of women devotees in their multicolored saris, the wash cycle and thal, everything that was static suddenly became a sea of gentle waves of multi-hued light. And instinctively, Mr. Rasgotra's right hand went to the pulse in his left wrist, but the pulse beat was normal. He could still clearly see for a fleeting moment or two Bhagwan in the wheelchair and a few others accompanying him. Momentarily, the scene changed again, and again it was all light everywhere, the purest of pure white light enveloping everything. It looked as if nothing ever existed before, nothing except the heavenly radiance that Mr. Rasgotra at that time was beholding. Whichever way his gaze turned, he only saw light and all-enveloping luminescence everywhere. Boundary walls topped by iron grills, solid buildings beyond the gate where he had a clear view of Bhagwan and his companions, a few thousand devotees seated on two sides of Bhagwan's route, Bhagwan, his party, everything had miraculously dissolved into that one dazzling, transporting splendor of divine effulgence. And while beholding that marvel, Mr. Rasgotra said to himself, "I am fully conscious. I mean, this is real, but this is so strange. The light is so bright, but it is not harsh on my eyes, and no heat radiates from this light." He also observed how remarkably calm he was as his eyes feasted on that cool, bright light which had transformed everything into itself. And this supernatural spectacle did not unnerve him. And suddenly a thought came to him. That is, my divine master is giving me a vision of his reality. I am blessed. And after this realization happened, in a trice, as it were, the scene began to change. The light swiftly receded from all the sides to a point about 2 or 3 meters from the gate into the Sai Kurvanth Hall, where Bhagwan and his party would then have reached. Mr. Rasgotra could now make out Bhagwan at the center of a quickly shrinking glow. And then it was the normal everyday scene of Bhagwan on his usual round to bless the assembled devotees. Mr. Rasgotra's eyes were filled with tears of love, tears of gratitude, tears of joy. Later, Mr. Rasgotra reflected on this incident and wrote about it, and there he says, "Bhagwan had indeed given me a vision of his reality. But wasn't there more to the panorama he had laid bare before me? He is that divine light, of course, but what about those thousands of ordinary men and women and the solid mass of insentient matter all around which had also evaporated into light? Are they all integral part of that being who is light?" And he thought to himself, "Hadn't Baba also given me a vision of the ultimate truth? That is the truth of all existence, inanimate, animate, everything." And he said to himself, "Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba revealed himself to me as the supreme light on that morning. Blessed are we who live in his time on earth." So that is the Jyoti Swarupa Sai who gives this experience of Jyoti to his devotees, this enlightening, illumining experience. Divya Jyoti, Jnana Jyoti, Prema Jyoti Jalao. We bow down in reverence to the supreme divine light, the light of wisdom and pure unconditional love. We pray that he elevates us to such divine heights that we can understand that unity that permeates all creation. Let's now move on to the last line, which is sung in two variations of tune.
Akhanda Jyoti Jalao.
Here again we know all the words. So in this line we implore the Lord to light up our hearts with His love so that we may clearly recognize Him in all things and in all beings around us. So with that, dear listeners, we have finished gaining a glimpse of the subtle meaning of every word of this bhajan. And now, with this deeper understanding, let's listen and participate in this bhajan once again.
अखंड ज्योति जलाओ साई मन मंदिर में अखंड ज्योति जलाओ साई मन मंदिर में ज्योति जलाओ अखंड ज्योति जलाओ कोटि सूर्य सम तेज स्वरूपा सूर्य सम तेज स्वरूपा साई तुम हो दिव्य स्वरूपा साई तुम हो दिव्य स्वरूपा ज्योति जलाओ ज्योति जलाओ साई मन मंदिर में अखंड ज्योति जलाओ सूर्य सम तेज स्वरूपा साई तुम हो दिव्य स्वरूपा अखंड ज्योति जलाओ अखंड ज्योति जलाओ साई मन मंदिर में
एंड नाउ before we conclude, here is a small excerpt of a conversation with Brother Sonam Gyamso, former student of Bhagwan's University, a very blessed singer and composer. But what were the general directions that Swami used to give to bhajan singers about practice, about how they should prepare themselves to sing in Mandir?
Well, we had different occasions to pray to Bhagwan. And the most important thing, because those were the days when we had the privilege to lean on him completely. And then if a bhajan had to be good, it would be, you know, taken to that level, raised to that level by him. Even personally, physically, he would make those beautiful gestures and then he would approve of the bhajan. And even a bhajan which was really not well sung would be praised sky high by everyone, and people would say the bhajan is so beautiful. And that was one way of Swami making you understand that you are not the singer, you are not the doer. That even if the bhajan has to be sung, even if it is really well sung, if he says no, and if he makes a face, then everyone says that, oh, what happened, brother, today? You didn't sing it well, you know. So when we asked Swami, Swami, what is the way, what should we practice? Swami said, keep singing bhajan, that is the best practice. Because we were asking Swami in terms of nuances of classical music, Swami, what exercises to do, what to practice. Swami said, even if you have learned the alankars, you can do them. But then the best method of singing well is singing a good song. And there couldn't be a better song than a bhajan.
Yes.
Because Swami said, when you are singing bhajan, the benefit is two-pronged. One benefit is, you are all the time dwelling on the name of the Lord. So, it's not singing during a practice session. But you make it a habit that your entire system of breathing, your breath itself, you start breathing bhajan, breathing in and breathing out bhajan. If you are able to do that, keep playing the bhajan, keep simulating, mentally simulating the bhajan, you know, in your mind. Then all the time you are in that bhajan, we are with that bhajan. And when ultimately when you sing that bhajan, you will sing that bhajan with feel, with lot of bhava. And because you would have sung that bhajan so many times, this is the most beautiful thing Swami said. Every bhajan is so potentially, is so potential, like is so potent with not only the bijakshar that you are talking about, but every raga is in that, a full raga is in that, a bhajan composed in a complete raga itself. And then all the subtle nuances are in that bhajan, embedded in that bhajan. So when you sing a bhajan, your voice starts shaping up. It completely shapes the contours of your voice, the tone and tenor of your voice. So if you are practicing bhajan every day, you don't need to practice anything else. And some other time I had also, we shared this together, that if you are singing bhajan, you are also doing pranayam. This is the highest form of pranayam that you can do, by singing bhajan and extolling the name of the Lord. That's what Swami...
Wow.
This is the simplest thing, like he makes everything, breaks it down to its simplicity, to its elements, and says that this much, and then you gain the whole world.
Because bhajan is ultimately, it is not music, it is only a sadhana,
yeah,
to definitely reach the Lord, and for that namasmarana is needed.
So
you don't need any other practice. You continue to do your namasmarana, do it more vigorously, do it more seriously.
So well said, yeah.
So that was Brother Sonam Gyamso from Sikkim, a former student of Bhagwan's University who came to him in the initial years of the university's starting, and then had the chance to sing for him for more than a decade and also compose many bhajans by divine inspiration. I hope you found it useful. As always, please do send us your feedback by writing to listener@radiosai.org. The audio engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek. And the background score was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishnan. With hearts full of gratitude, we offer this humble endeavor at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan.
You were listening to an episode of our program, Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. This episode was first aired on 6th November 2014 as part of Thursday Live from Prashanthinilam on Asia Stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram.